Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, July 14th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are in the Big Book. We are on page 51 of We Agnostics, the second paragraph down. We asked ourselves this through one paragraph ending, airplane travel was in full swing. The comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kate F., the 12 Traditions, Lisa W., and the readers of the text are Luann C., Chanel T., and Kathy M. The share ID for Monday, July 13th, to 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,631. I have too many threes here. That's 23,000. That's 23,631. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, July 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 23,633. That's 23,633. Newcomer greeter is Hannah Yetta, and our announcements person is Robin P. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kate F. from Washington State to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Kate.
Thank you, Mo, and good morning, everyone. This is Kate F. from Washington, and here are our 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Kate F. from Washington State. I will now ask Lisa W. to read the 12 Traditions of OA. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. And 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. That's Lisa W. from Colorado. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions mean, what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 51, chapter We Agnostics, the second paragraph down. We asked ourselves this, reading through one paragraph ending with airplane travel was in full swing, and the comments will be on that one paragraph only. And I will now ask Luann C. to read, to begin reading and comment for us. I lost my place. Good morning, Luann.
Good morning, Mo. I know my book just closed. I'm Luann C. I am gratefully recovered in Boise, Idaho today. And just really grateful to be able to share on this paragraph. We asked ourselves this, are not some of us just as biased and unreasonable about the realm of the spirit as were the ancients about the realm of the material? Even in the present century, American newspapers were afraid to print an account of the Wright brothers' first successful flight at Kitty Hawk. Had not all efforts at flight failed before? Did not Professor Langley's flying machine go to the bottom of the Potomac River? Was it not true that the best mathematical minds had proved man could never fly? Had not people said God had reserved this privilege to the birds? Only 30 years later, the conquest of the air was almost an old story, and airplane travel was in full swing. Yes. So I feel like in these paragraphs and this one too, that Bill is, you know, really appealing to to those of us who are really locked in the intellectual proof of things before we'll accept something. You know, and he uses these great examples from history like Galileo and here the Wright brothers, you know, who followed a new unproven idea, even though there was mathematical proof that no man could fly. Yet in each of those cases, experience and results vindicated their ideas. And, you know, Bill's trying to illustrate for us, in my feeling, that this new way that he's presenting is worth considering. And, you know, when I look at my own life, you know, I was superstitious. You know, I had proof that I could never be free of food, you know, and that was given to me by people, you know, or things I had experienced, you know, it would never work. You know, I quote unquote knew that I was fat and ugly and would never be loved. And I knew that because someone said it. You know, I knew if I could only be thin, my life would be perfect. You know, I knew there was no God who would help me with something so insignificant as a food problem. And yet in the face of these impossibilities, I found a solution. You know, my beliefs were shown by working the steps and going through the process that those beliefs were just stories that I believed. And I believed in them because I had nothing else to cling to for hope. But with the spiritual principle of willingness that he's asking for here, you know, the willingness to be open-minded, when I had finally gotten to the point of absolute desperation, I received the power to try. And I was willing to find out if it would work for me too. And I had the blessing of other people, it working in their life. And that gave me the courage to say, maybe it'll work for me too. And it has worked. And it has been an ongoing process that, you know, my life is just, it's so different. So different than what I thought it was supposed to be. It's just a new life of actually caring about other people. That's new for me. So, but I'm here to say it really worked for me, and it really does work. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Luann C. from Idaho, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So we are on page 51 of We Agnostics, the second paragraph down. We asked ourselves this, and it ends with, airplane travel was in full swing. Who would like to comment?
Alex Kay.
Alex?
Kay from Iowa.
Kay from Iowa. What's your last initial, Kay?
S.
And S as in Sam?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Kay. I have Alex and I have Kay. Who else would like to join this group? Anybody? All right. All right, we'll start with these two, Alex K and KS. After that, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Alex.
Hi, Mo. Thanks for your service. Thanks, everyone, for your service and for being here. Alex K., compulsive eater in California, giving a brief for today. The words that stand out for me are biased and unreasonable. And the last paragraph said, fettered by fixed ideas, and fettered means unfree and enslaved. And they both describe my old attitude that kept me trapped. My thinking was so limited. I wasn't open to anything else. I was very judgmental, resistant, closed-minded, and my biased, unreasonable ideas did not serve me. I stayed stuck in the same place, but I held on to them because it's all I knew, my faulty thinking. And some of my old ideas that kept me stuck were, there's no such thing as a higher power. I can fix my problems with my thinking and my willpower. I don't need help from anyone. self-reliance is all I need. I can't depend on anyone else. Feelings are bad and to be avoided at all costs. I was terrified of my feelings. I don't have a disease or it's not that bad. I can control it. I'm less than other people. I'm alone and unloved. Those were my beliefs. Those were things I thought I knew to be true. And I wasn't aware that I was fettered, enslaved, biased, unreasonable. But I really was in a prison of my own thinking, a prison of isolation and addiction. So grateful I've been rescued. I've been released from that prison. All my old faulty, fixed ideas that didn't work have been proven wrong and are being replaced. I'm never alone. I have a higher power who's always with me and loves me unconditionally. I'm always taken care of. I have a fellowship in my higher power, and the steps are designed for living, the solution to all my problems. I'm undergoing a psychic change. It's an amazing experience. I'm open to learn and grow. My thinking and life have really been transformed dramatically. It's so miraculous and such a relief. I have peace in my life and I can be happy, joyous, and free. Yay! Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much. That's Alex Gay from California. And KS will be up next, and after K, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, K.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Well, I just get excited when I read this paragraph. I am a little research nerd. I love evidence. Gratefully, I've been in this program in different formats for a long time. I have seen the miracles. So when I read this paragraph, but I am a skeptic. Trust me, I try everything that the world has to offer before I'm willing to sort of surrender to something that's bigger than us, that is not measurable or limited to the worldly ways of, you know, deciding what works and what doesn't. I mean, we're really in a different plane when we work with however you describe God as your understanding. But one of the things that I know for a fact is do not box God in. I have tangled with that for many different issues and things that come up in my life. And I'm telling you, there are things that have surrender written all over it. And I mean, not surrender to the disease, but surrender to the solution. And however that looks for you, if I get quiet, I know that all things are possible. Just because I don't know how it's going to happen, or I can't explain how all of a sudden something was removed from my psyche, doesn't mean it's not real, because it's happened. So anyway, I kind of get such a kick out of this. What a great paragraph for our humility as human beings, right? That we are wonderful, wonderful, and have done amazing things, as even in this paragraph described. We go past even what humans think we can do and break all kinds of rules. But anyway, just good to be a part of something, because I'm telling you, this disease, cunning, powerful, baffling, all day long, for infinitely, it's going to be that way. But I am also connected to a power, at least in my description, that is infinite also, but it's infinite in wisdom and solutions and good stuff. So anyway, very grateful to be a part of this program. I love this program. It's comical. It always makes me laugh at my humanity, and it also keeps me connected to hope. And so that's all I've got today. Thanks so much. Have a good day, everybody.
Where are you calling from, Kay?
I'm sorry, KS from Iowa. I forgot to say
okay.
that.
Thank you, Kay. That's KS from Iowa. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share? We're on page 51 of We Agnostics, the second paragraph. We asked ourselves this through one paragraph ending, airplane travel was in full swing.
Patty D.
Patty D, was that a D?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha, Patty. Patty D, who else?
Jane from the Caribbean.
Did you say Jane?
No, Joan, like Joan of Arc, Joan.
Oh, yeah, Joan. Oh, I got you. Okay, Joan of Arc. Okay. Joan.
Lisa W. from Denver.
Lisa W. Got you, Lisa. I have Patty D., Joan B., I think was the last initial, and Lisa W. Anyone else in this lineup?
Carrie N., California.
Carrie N. from California. Thank you. All right, we'll go with this lineup. Patty D., Joan B., Lisa W., and Carrie N. Everyone mute except Patty D. And let us know where you're calling from, Patty.
Sure. Good morning. I'm Patty D. I'm calling from Arizona. And I am the compulsive overeater. And, I just love this. I love the book. And I thank you for everybody that runs this meeting and makes it possible. I'm new to OA. And I'm not new to the steps, but I am new to OA. And, thank God for people like the Wright brothers and for Bill and Bob that started things, that were brave enough and that had courage enough to do that. And I know it was God working through them to do these wonderful things. And I just get emotional about it because for years, I thought I couldn't, I tried to control these things in my life or the overeating, and I just kept fighting it and thinking I could find a way someday to do this. And, I had quit drinking, smoking, this and that. And the other thing, I did not want to give up my food, too. It was like, why? Why can't I hold on to one thing? And, what a blessing it's been when I finally was willing enough to do this. And I had the best sponsor. And she's just wonderful. And from the beginning, she told me this is not a drudgerous. This cannot be a drudgerous thing to do. And it isn't. Once I'm doing this, I'm in my second month, and I'm just sharing because I want other newcomers to know that it just keeps getting better and better. And like the reader shared, about needing the proof, and I found the proof in the program with all of you. It's been working for all of you that have been abstinent for years, and so that gave me the hope. And I'm still, I cannot get too comfortable. I need to do these meetings every day, and I need to surrender every day. Or I will go back to my food. My ego will pop right back up in there and think I can have control again. But I just wanted to say that, and I love you all, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Patty D. from Arizona. Up next is Joan B., and then followed by Lisa W. Good morning, Joan. Joan, press star 1 to unmute.
Good morning. Can you hear me now? Sorry.
I can.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you. This is Joan from the Caribbean. And this is my second week in OA. And I just loved what somebody shared about the fact that, that the people who did who invented airplanes and things like that, they were thinking of something impossible that no one else would believe. And they used the word preposterous. And that's not a word that I would use. It's a sort of old-fashioned word. But I know that when people told me about God, in my head, the word was ridiculous, so stupid. What idiots, you know, believing in a God. And I came from an atheist family that was pretty sarcastic about God and religion. So for me, it's just such a wonderful new way of looking at it, because when I think of people like who invented flight, what incredible minds they had, that they were able to conceive of something that they couldn't see and that no one else would believe in around them, and that everyone said was preposterous. And so it makes me look again completely at people who have faith in a God or higher power, is that they are like pioneers. You're having to trust and believe in something you cannot see and that many other people think is ridiculous. And that makes all these people who believe and trust in a higher power very brave and pioneering people in my view. And my journey to finding a higher power has been very painful, having to put to bed my previous views and be willing to humble myself enough to trust in a higher power. And I do still struggle with that. I do not struggle with the humility bit, but I think there's part of me that still struggles with the fact that it's not something concrete in front of me that I can see, touch, hear, and that I get a response from immediately. But my way of seeing the concreteness of my higher power is by coming to these meetings and hearing how he works in other people's lives, and then looking back at how he's worked in mine or she or whatever, you know. And I'm extremely grateful to be here this morning. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much. That's Joan B. from the Caribbean. Up next is Lisa W., followed by Carrie N. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, Mo. I'm fixing to get into a place where I don't have cell phone service. Can I go after the next person?
Sure. Yes, thank you for being clear. All right, so we will take Carrie N., and then we will go back to Lisa W. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. It's Carrie N. from California. I'm a compulsive overeater, so glad to be on the meeting. Honestly, I don't know what to make of this paragraph. I just appreciate listening to this meeting and hearing other people's ideas. And the most important part when I listen to people is that they are on the jet plane, you know. I mean, they are experiencing something that I know that a daily, I mean, people do it all the time today. But just a short time ago that people did not fly, and they did not believe they could fly. So I need to hear about, I mean, people can even call me from, they can text me from the airplane from flying. And that's what happens every day with my experience of OA, A Vision for You, the 12 Steps, is that people who have a condition similar to mine, they are doing what they could never do before because of a spiritual experience. And it's a good analogy for me to think about what I think I can't do on a daily basis, and then what I ask, I connect with that power greater than myself, and I'm able to take actions in the material world, just not in my thinking. But I actually get to call people. I get to read the big book. I get to have that conscious connection. And I'm just going to keep at it. Thank you all for being in recovery so that I can hear what it looks like and hear what happens in the material world to a person that before couldn't stop or whatever version of compulsive overeating you have, that suddenly you have a sane and useful life. And so thanks for texting me from your flight, and thanks for letting me know where you travel, because I need to hear that. I need to hear how you fly. So thanks a lot. I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Carrie N. from California. And Lisa, do you have cell service where you are now?
I believe so, but if I, let's first, Lisa.
Give it a try. Okay. Oops, you're cutting out, Lisa. Okay. It's not working, Lisa. We'll go on for some more, and then I'll come back to you, okay?
Yes, good.
Okay, so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph? We're on page 51 of We Agnostics, the second paragraph. We asked ourselves this through one paragraph ending with airplane travel was in full swing. And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Wendy M.
Wendy M. I believe from
Charlotte
Colorado.
T.
Charlotte T. Where are you from, Charlotte?
Hanayeta. Sarah N. in California.
Sarah N. in California. Okay, let's go with those. We'll see where we're at time-wise. I have Wendy M., Charlotte T., Hanayeta, and Sarah N. So if everybody else would please mute except Wendy M. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Mo. So good to hear your voice always. Thank you for your service. I'm Wendy M. I'm recovered in Boulder, Colorado. So I heard this morning, I'm smiling, right? Because like when I take medication, I trust that it works. When I plug something, you know, my blow dryer into the wall, I trust that it works. You know, when my friend comes to visit me on a plane, I trust that it works. I trust so many things that I don't understand on a daily basis. But why would I trust, you know, God with my food? Right? Like, why would I trust that this thing actually works, right? Why would I, you know, go into, you know, so many reasons why this wouldn't work? But here's the deal. It works. I don't actually need the arguments that Bill's presenting. I really don't. I just need to have the experience that this works, right? Like, somebody's all the requirements, it works for me. So if you want what I have, you're going to do what I do. So I do what they do. You know, the program is for people who don't, it's not for people who want it or need it. It's for people who do it, right? This is not about me being convinced, right? My disease, my food, the destruction of my life, the unmanageability of my life, that will convince me, right? And we talked about that, I think before we talked about that. But I mean, that's how this thing works. Like, why would I believe you guys? Like, I want to suffer. I want to stay in the food. I want my life to be unmanageable. No, I don't. But I trust so many things on a daily basis. I'm currently driving. I trust that the car will work. I don't even think about these things, you guys, right? So why wouldn't I want something that works? Why wouldn't I want to see the smile on your face, the peace in your heart, the manageability of your life? Today, I'm not the same person I was 25 years ago when I started this thing. I'm radically different. I have a spiritual liberation of my thinking. I know that when I am disturbed, I'm in self. I'm in self. That's all it is. And I have a design for living. This program gives me a design that works, right? I call you guys. I get out of self. I ask God, what is your assignment for me today? Like, I broke up with someone a few days ago, and I asked God, what is your assignment for me today? That is a spiritual liberation of my thinking, right? What is it that I can do for you, God? What is the role that you assign for me? oh my God, I have a much bigger life than, oh, if I broke up, oh, that's okay. It's a circumstance. And you know what? God protects me. God did for me what I could not do for myself. I am smiling so big today because my thinking is different, right? It's not the problem, it's not the person. It's my thinking about that person. That is the spiritual liberation of my thinking. I get God when I know that God is just an inch away, and all I have to do is look slightly to the right or slightly to the rest and say, there is God. God has me at all times. But I have to do the program. This is, thank you so much, Mo, for letting me be of service, and I thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Up next is Charlotte T., followed by Hannah Yetta. Charlotte, let us know where you're calling from, please.
Hi there. This is Charlotte from Arizona, and I am so grateful to be able to speak on the line this morning. The little people haven't come out of their rooms yet, so I'm taking the full opportunity. But yes, it's just so good to be a part of this group, and I often listen. And biased and unreasonable especially stuck out to me, and I did not think I was that when I got here. And you know, I'm familiar with the 12 steps. I've been in some sort of recovery for years, but then getting here this time, and I couldn't remember to pray. I couldn't remember to invite God in, and I would put sticky notes up everywhere. I would set alarms on my phone, and I couldn't remember to make the conscious contact with God. And so the food was an issue, but really I had to get to the point where I saw that my spiritual connection was just broken. And so opening myself up to this program and really doing it, it didn't make sense to me. I just thought, you know, this is, you know, another aspect of recovery, and I can do it if I just work a little harder. But really getting into that deep powerlessness and unmanageability and clinging to my higher power, and that's something this time around in recovery, I just constantly in the two-way prayers and the 10 steps, like, it just, it's the continual theme of clinging to my higher power and asking for help. And whereas before I just was so really in my will, I would like pray in the morning and then, you know, but then I was in my will all day. And I still am in my will, but I'm remembering and I am being reminded by my higher power, right? And just continually going back. I will also say, and I think this should be talked about more often. Someone kind of touched on it earlier, but again, when I got to this, it was like, oh, this is the last thing I want to let go of. Like, I've let go of everything, I feel like. And, but letting go of the food and what I thought I needed and being able, my desires are changed. And I feel like that's not talked about very often, but I thought it was going to be such a, you know, oh, just so awful and just, okay, life is going to be so boring. But truly my desires change. My desires change for the type of food I have. My desires change for how I use my time. My desires change for connection with other people in the program and for doing 10 steps. I used to hate doing 10 steps. I love them now. They're like medicine. And so my desires change and I get to, and so I hope that gives hope to other people because it really, truly, thank you so much. It really, truly is a gift to be here. And I see it that way. With that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Charlotte T. from Arizona. Up next is Hannah Yetta, followed by Sarah N. Good morning. Good morning, Hannah Yetta.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Excuse me. My name is Hannah Yetta, and it's spelled C-H-A-N-A hyphen Y-E-T-T-A-R from Plano, Texas, just outside Dallas. And I first want to welcome all the newcomers, people coming back, and people struggling. I think you're the most important people on the meeting because I can't keep what I have unless I give it away. And I love phone calls. So I really, the thing that sticks out to me, this may sound really strange, is the fact that he couldn't write, they didn't even want to print that the flight was successful because they were so afraid that people would just totally not believe them. You know, it's like they would be harassed or just almost shunned that they would even print something like that. And besides the fact that hardly anybody in my life, everybody believed me, but I never told the truth. So, it's kind of an oxymoron there. But it also brings me back to the doctor's opinion. Dr. Silkworth, when he first wrote the letter the first time, he couldn't sign his name to it because he thought if he got found out that he could lose his license because it was so off the cuff that people needed a spiritual remedy for their illness that they couldn't help them. He would have been, laughed out of his doctorate degree, that he would lose his license because people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear things, that are different, that are odd, that are off color, that are beyond our beliefs, beyond what we can see, like somebody stressed about electricity or the car running or all these different things. We just take them for granted. I take for granted that when I go over to the light switch, it's going to turn on. I don't think about how the electricity comes through the wires outside into the box here and into the wiring in my house and all the way to my light switch. No, I turn on my light switch and I expect my light to go on. And I guess we could do the same thing. I can do the same thing. I can turn on the light switch. I can turn on my switch to God and say, okay, God, I'm turning you on. Do for me what I can't do for myself. Be there for me. I just had a call this morning that said that somebody was like, I've lost my way. And I said, have you lost your abstinence? No, but I've lost my way. And I said, okay, real quick, God is really still there. You've turned your back on him. He hasn't turned your back on you. So with that, don't quit 5 minutes before our miracles. Thank you, Mo.
Yeah, thank you. Hana Yetta R. from Texas. Up next is Sarah N. And Sarah, after Sarah, Lisa, we'll see if you have cell service. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Mo. May I be heard?
You may. You are. You may.
That's all right. Great. Thank you so much. Hi, my name is Sarah N., and I'm living in my home state of California. I'm grateful, compulsive overeater, grateful to be halfway in recovery, be in recovery one day at a time, and really grateful for this meeting and this very long paragraph that's just full of such amazing examples of the miraculous. I remember I often say I came into OA when I really, feel like I got serious and learned about abstinence in 2012. And it was through in-person meetings. And in those in-person meetings, there were women living in normal-sized bodies, and they would share about, their physical progress. And they had little booklets, and my mom was actually one of these. And anyway, they had pictures of the before and after, and so they'd pass them out as they'd share, the miracle, what had happened in their life, how they transformed. And it was always just like, wow, like you were like that. And I'm looking at this person, you know, who once upon a time was maybe 300 plus pounds and, you know, 130 pound body now. And seeing that like visual proof was, you know, quite astounding. And it helped to have that proof to understand that, you know, the problem of compulsive overeating had been arrested. And this is where I first learned of abstinence, was given a suggested, you know, food plan. And I adopted that and experienced some of the physical relief from the disease. It was when I came into, and I had, you know, a fair amount of recovery there, but it was when I, you know, stepped into this virtual room of voices and heard so many people with this spiritual recovery, and that had, you know, started with the practice of abstinence and then the working of the 12 steps and loving that 10th step, and having been taken through on more than one occasion through these steps with wonderful, loving sponsors and guides, that have pointed me to this amazing God-inspired book. And I just appreciate this paragraph so much. It's so long, but what jumps out at me was almost everyone knows the reason. And it's like, and that reason is the word God, good orderly direction, a loving higher power, the source of infinite creation and wisdom, and has all the answers, and is pure love and energy. These are descriptions that I've come to accept and understand. So thank you, God. Thank you, higher power. Thank you, everyone, for your service. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Sarah M. from California. And Lisa W., are you back?
I am. Thanks, you guys, so much for your patience. Lisa W. in Colorado, recovering, hopefully, compulsive overeater. And, you know, as I'm contemplating, you know, belief, which is what this sounds like to me, I prayed so much about having the compulsion removed before I got in the program, before I got into Vision, and it just didn't work. It just didn't work, and I just gave up. And then when I started working the steps in the Vision way, you know, I got food neutrality and I got peace immediately. And I just, you know, I still kind of have a conundrum. What was happening? I was doing things differently. I was in the book. I was, you know, really, really busy with step work. And, you know, I didn't hear a gong from God. I just don't understand it. It feels a little like tools, but I know that tools don't get you abstinence. So, and I'm praying more, but not necessarily before I eat. So, yeah, I don't understand it, and I feel like I want to, but what I hear in this paragraph is maybe I don't need to understand. Maybe I just need to be grateful that whatever is happening is happening. I am trying to pray more throughout the day. I love what was said about God put in front of me what you would have, you know, what you have for me today to do. And I'm really grateful that my sponsor didn't require me to believe when I did step two. She just said, are you willing to believe? Can you be ready to believe? Willing to be willing. So I'm on my way, and I'm just grateful that the program works, even though I don't understand how. With that, I'll pass. Thanks so much, Lisa W. in Colorado.
Well, thank you very much. That's Lisa W., as she said, in Colorado, and glad we were able to get you in. All right, we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, and I will now ask Chanel P. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Chanel.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for all your service, as always. Mm-hmm. I am Chanel P. in Washington State. Grateful compulsive eater living in recovery today, by the grace of God. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.